Hey, everybody. Welcome to Spin is a Four-Letter Word, the Maroon PR podcast, all things PR, marketing, et cetera, et cetera. With me, as always, is Matt Williams, our esteemed VP. Hey, Matt.
Great to see you, John.
And for the first time, a good friend of mine, Rose DePaula. She is the Director of Strategic Communications for University of Maryland Athletics. Rose, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And I haven't even taken a sip of my Sour Monkey yet, and I'm stumbling over my words. So cheers.
Cheers.
Let's have a beer segment. Earlier this year, for those of you following at home, we changed the focus of our podcast a little more. As you can see, we're doing it on video, but we also know that we are hopefully the agency that people want to have a beer with. So we decided to incorporate some beers because that's what we do here at Maroon PR. Great having Rose here. Rose and I have known each other a long time, and she's been a great friend, and she's tremendous at what she does. And she has been with Maryland Athletics for quite some time and been through the trenches with what's quickly becoming a legendary coach in Brenda Fries, the University of Maryland women's head basketball coach. And Rose, first of all, let's talk about this season. I mean, I know you've been through many seasons and a national championship with Brenda. This season seemed pretty special, and it kind of culminated with the WNBA draft and two of the players in the top 10. Very exciting stuff.
This season was so fun. I mean, from a PR standpoint, because I got to know 9 new players, which is really unique on a basketball team when you only really have 13 to 15. So it was 9 new people learning their stories, telling their stories. I felt like every day I was learning something new about them. And they were learning about themselves. I mean, at the beginning of the year, we weren't really a team anybody was talking about with so many new pieces. And then they just kind of kept picking up a big win here, a big win there. And it built up to an Elite Eight. And then, yeah, Diamond Miller went number 2 overall in the draft. And Abby Myers, a local kid from Montgomery County who transferred home from Princeton for her last year, went 11th. So it's really special when you see great people come together and have success.
Now, and they seem like great people. I mean, what really stood out to me just following Coach Fries on Twitter and just following you guys as a team is it feels like a team that really likes each other and cares about each other's well-being. I mean, the reaction when Diamond went 2nd and then when Abby, which may or may not have been a bit of a surprise, it was to me, just the reaction from the teammates and the coaching staff and the staff. It's nice to see, and you don't always get that in a team setting.
You don't. I mean, and we all know from working with different groups over the years, some teams are more fun than others, and some teams like each other more than others.
Yes.
This group really, really came together and really had a good time playing with each other and for each other, and so it was just fun to, as I always say, fun to have a front row seat.
Yeah. Right. And then you said 9 new players, right? I mean, I guess that's kind of the new reality now, right, with the transfer portal, et cetera.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I hope it's not 9 again.
Right,
maybe
right,
only right. 4 or 5. We were, you know, last summer when they were all coming in for workouts, we're like remembering names and who's from where and all those things. And from our PR and marketing side, we were really focused on how to get our fans and other people, like, make sure they all knew who everyone was and they were familiar with us. You know, like, what can we do now to make sure they all know their names and who they are, you know?
And, oh, by the way, a little shout out. Diamond is a Jersey girl. Just want to throw it out there.
She is,
it's good
yes.
to see. Hey, so Rose, one thing that's really been kind of escalating over the last few years is just excitement around the women's game and viewership. But it really kind of came to a crescendo this year. And you saw the ratings going up. You saw the personalities coming to the fore, not just in the championship game, but all throughout the tournament. What do you make of that? I mean, it's great. I love it. But you've seen this building over years, and there were times when it was far less popular to now. What do you attribute that to?
I think it's many factors. I think for years when I first started with the team, the story nationally was UConn and UConn's dominance. And I think UConn made everybody else in the country really kind of reach that level, right? And now in the women's game, you have the parity, the competition, some of the unexpected things like you see in the men's tournament. I think you're seeing a great product in the actual games, that now you're just seeing more and more teams have success and people are interested. And honestly, the women's Final Four games the last few years have been unbelievable. I mean, with buzzer beaters and crazy plays and star power, and it's been yeah, it's been really fun to watch the game kind of take that next step for
We are with Rose DePaula. She is the Director of Strategic Communications for University of Maryland Athletics. Rose, I went to a game this year when you guys thumped Ohio State. It was awesome. The place was packed. It took me an hour to get out of the parking garage, which is great. I mean, I got to tell you, I didn't fully expect that. And it was young people. It was, you know, people of all ages, and there was a high level of excitement and energy. How have you guys been able to build that? Certainly Brenda being the coach that she is, but being able to build this energy and excitement to where you're packing the house for the women's games on a what felt like a regular basis. How's that happening?
I think it's the consistency, and that goes back to Coach Freeze. She puts out a consistently great product. Her teams are great every year. And that's really hard to do.
Yeah.
And so I think people in this area generally know that they're going to go see something great and have a good time. I think our marketing team and our PR team, we talk, I mean, all the time about what makes people want to come to our games. Because in this area, there's so much competition, right? I mean, you can choose to spend your money to go to any variety of events. So why would you want to come to our game? And we think that we have an environment that's family friendly. Yeah. It's affordable. It's a good time. I mean, it's, we got games and we have, you know, music and just kinds of stuff like that. But we try to keep things affordable. And also I think you that was a Sunday game.
Yes.
I think so. And Sundays we tend to do really well, because we do have a fan base that can be a little on the older side. And so that's a great time of day. For those folks, as well as the folks that have kids on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I'm not offended at all, by the way.
Yeah, so, you know, if you have two young kids, a Sunday afternoon is a great time to go do something as a family. So we definitely try and tap into that. And I think that game was a top 10 game.
Yeah.
We had been playing well. It was the pink game, which is another, for breast cancer awareness. So that's another
draw.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. we had a lot of survivors there and things like that. So
that was really cool, recognizing the survivors at halftime. I see, and it's not just we're using you guys as an example, and even women's college basketball as an example, but, you know, as Matt pointed out before we hopped in here, you know, WNBA ratings are way up. The LPGA just hosted their first major of the year. They had terrific ratings, and they had all new sponsors, a whole bunch of money coming in. It's very gratifying to see women's athletics getting the attention it deserves. And we're trying to decide, like, is it just generational, right? Is this generation just more appreciative and been raised to acknowledge and understand this? Is it more of a concerted effort? Is it the influx of social media and streaming opportunities? Is it all the above? What, did you have a take on any of that?
I think it's a little bit of everything. Yeah. I mean, I think people in general are more open to just, they just want to see a good product.
Yeah.
So they just want to see a good game, you know, and if you can pay under $20 to come see a good game, or you're flipping through the channels. Now there's a million channels if you even still have cable, but, you want to see some, you want to see the game that's good. I think social media certainly helps because, you know, the algorithms and different things are feeding you things that you might not have seen otherwise. So maybe you're coming across, you know, a great play or a great moment or an athlete that maybe you wouldn't have seen otherwise. But now it's kind of being fed to you. And so I think it's definitely helping spread the women's game for sure.
Yeah. You know, I know, you know, back to some of those numbers, I know viewership for live sporting events is down everywhere except in women's sports. That's the one trending place. And it feels like, you know, one of the things that has come around is there's more personalities now in women's sports. That there've always been great players, et cetera, but it feels like they're now have kind of found their voice a little bit. Whether that is just on their own play, maybe it's because they're trying to represent, I don't know, a product they're pitching for NIL, or whether that is simply just, you know, they want to do some social justice type things. But all of those things combined, it feels like, you know, that we've transcended from the hardcore women's sports fan to just general sports fans now. Do you think that's true?
I definitely do. For sure. I think you are seeing, like, now when you watch a game, you're seeing more sideline reporters, more off the court or off the field stories being told kind of like you did during NFL games and stuff. I think you're seeing more of that. But yeah, like some of it does have to do with athletes using their platforms more. And, you know, I know at Maryland, like since COVID, you know, when we didn't have sports, we really invested in putting out our own content and telling stories. And we've tried really hard to kind of keep that going. And so I think, yeah, we're just telling more stories.
No, you guys have done a great job with that, Rose. If anybody who's listening, if you haven't followed Maryland Athletics and specifically the women's basketball team, follow them. I mean, they're great follow. And it goes back to personalities. We want to see personalities. We want to know these women and get to know them. And that's going to draw us more. And I think you guys have done a great job with that. Some of the, I mentioned the golf earlier, the LPGA. And I think just the evolution of society, right? I mean, you got Augusta National, the legendary golf club, now hosting the Women's Augusta Amateur, which is a big deal right before Masters Week. There's just more of a caring and understanding. You have elevation of women executives. So corporations are spending more and being more in tune with it. And in the sports world, you know, whether it's Val Ackerman on down the road, you know, and LPGA commissioner Mike Wan was replaced by Molly. So you just get a lot of conference leaders and whatnot. There's just more of a voice at the table, and it took way too long to happen. But I also think the games have evolved as well, too. The athleticism of these women's is freakish, and it's something that we all want to see. It's just good. I think it's healthy, and it's good to see. But I think you're right. It's myriad reasons why it's happening. I'm just glad it's happening.
Same. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It seems like, you know, John, we've talked about this a lot too. There's an appreciation of the women's game, whether it's basketball or golf, by a broader group of people. I think men really identify with the women's golf game now because, you know, we're not hitting it 400 yards like the male pros are. There's that. I think also men are appreciating the women's basketball game now because it is probably more like the game that they grew up playing versus what you see in some other areas where, you know, you're hitting, it's all about shooting a 3-point shot now. And women in the women's game, there's a lot more to it. And I feel like there's people can relate to those sports more.
I'm sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but then I've seen plenty of guys into watching women's softball. You like when they get to the College World Series or I just think people, I think that there's definitely some truth in that people like being able to relate to the sports. I just think people like seeing good competition.
Yeah.
And especially if like your team happens to be pretty good, then maybe you're bought in, you know, and then it just kind of keeps spreading, and I think it's all good.
I think, the nature of a lot of fans, too, is to be a front-running fan, and Maryland basketball makes it easy. I mean, you guys, it's become a program in the top, 10 in the country for sure, and maybe higher than that, we're spoiled now, and now people focus on that because, hey, I'm going to go see the best that there is, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It was kind of cool. I was just kind of thinking back to the history of this, too, of this whole evolution. It started so many years ago. And, you know, I was recently at the Cal Ripken Senior Foundation Gala, and they were honoring Billie Jean King. And I didn't know what to expect. I'd never heard Billie Jean King really speak or anything. I knew a little bit about her. I knew her fight for equality for women. And the whole Bobby Riggs thing was 50 years ago and all that stuff. She was fascinating. And she was telling a story that she loved playing baseball when she was a kid. She was telling Cal Ripken this and Billy Ripken. And I loved playing baseball as a kid, and I couldn't play baseball. I could only play softball. I said, damn it, I'm going to play baseball. And that's kind of was the seed as a young girl to kind of fight this fight. And then you go further in the future, and not that long ago, and you have U.S. women's soccer team. And the battles they fought, they're outdrawing the men's soccer by leaps and bounds and still not being compensated the way they should be. And now they're winning that fight. So you forget that, I don't, but I hope I don't. But like a lot of people, I think it's easy to forget that this has been a gradual process that feels like it's got a ton of energy behind it all of a sudden, but it's not all of a sudden. There's been a lot of tracks laid over the years.
Absolutely. A lot of buildup. A lot of hardworking women making that fight, you know?
Yeah. Rose, I hate to put you on the spot. Is there any women's sports that maybe aren't, you mentioned softball earlier with the College World Series, are there any that maybe aren't in the mainstream that that you're a big fan of. You guys are dominant in field hockey, and you guys are dominant in lacrosse. Is there anything that any that really resonate with you?
And those are two great ones. I worked with the Maryland field hockey program for 13 years, and their head coach, Missy Maharg, she's been there over 35 years. She's a legend. She's won 7 national titles, but she just continues to bring in great women and, you know, help them grow on and off the field, and that's a program that I would love to see get a little more attention. Yeah. Maryland Women's Lacrosse, I mean, most people in this area know how great they are. They could always use more national love. But honestly, all of our women's sports teams, I've had the pleasure of working with volleyball, gymnastics, softball, as I said before, women's golf. I would love to see them all get a little more love.
No, that's great. And it's, you know, I think facilities play a big role too. I mean, if you, anybody who lives in this area, if you're ever down that way, go take in a field hockey game. The stadium's so cool. It's very unique, even for the Big Ten, in my mind. I mean, I've only been to a few because my niece played field hockey at Michigan State, and she always looked forward to coming up and getting her ass kicked by Maryland. And and they did, religiously, and it was just fun to watch. I remember, you know, I know enough about field hockey to, you know nothing. But you could see such a difference in the way that the Terps pass the ball and the way they move the ball around, their ball handling skills and their teammate and their playmaking versus some other teams. And it's really fun to watch. But, yeah, it's great to see. I love that.
Do you feel like when you see kids come in to the program now, do they have this – do they realize kind of this resurgence? Do they feel it? Is it – are they feel like this part of the wave, or do they just think this is the way it's always been?
That's a really good question. I think the younger kids that are coming in now kind of think this is the way it's always been, which is interesting since NIL is still fairly new. Mm-hmm. And there's so many things that they weren't able to do before. Probably. Mm-hmm. I would say they probably do. They all kind of are in their little bubble.
Yeah, I mean, we're at the 50th anniversary of Title IX, right? I mean, I think this is – we're right there. And it feels like, you know, it's we're this groundswell that started so long ago with Billie Jean King and et cetera to now. I mean, it really feels like we're at the crest of a wave here that's going to – things are going to change. You know, I think you're going to just see more and more – I mean, the networks, TV networks, et cetera, are smart. They can latch on to women's sports, and it opens up a whole different category for them to sell, right? I mean, it's there's more opportunities, places to be aired, whether it's online and et cetera. Now, there's a place for everybody, and it feels like we're kind of at one of these watershed moments that, like you said, John, the Final Four last year, this past year was so incredible that we're going to look back at this 25 years from now and say, wow, that was the beginning, right?
Yeah. Hey, Rose, I know NIL's kind of the reality you're dealing with. It's like transfer portal, NIL. We're not going backwards. NIL does open a lot of doors, especially for the non-generating, revenue-generating sport athletes, potentially, right? Are you seeing some movement in that area? Are you seeing some of the women that you work with getting some deals, albeit maybe not giant ones, but local? Or
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we have one of our softball players. She is one of our top athletes as far as NIL deals, because she's super active and right. goes out. And we work with a company called Open Doors at Maryland. Yep. And we have a Maryland marketplace where businesses and fans can go on and connect with athletes to help with whatever their needs are and whatever they're looking for. I have seen the needle move. I will say that, you know, as we've seen it play out, like it does kind of involve athletes having to kind of put in a little bit of work. Yes. But yeah, it's there's been opportunities all around for sure.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. I like to see that.
Great to hear.
Rose, thank you so much for joining us today. Is there anything else that you want to add about just your thoughts on women's athletics, where it's heading, all the good stuff that's happening? Because it is all good and positive.
You know, I had this thought during the NCAA tournament this year. I was getting tons of media requests to write about the inequities that our women face from people that never cover us and have never been to a game.
Right.
And I said at one point, not to a media member, but I said to a colleague, I said, for everyone that wants to write about what the women don't have. Let's write about what are the great women we do have and their stories. And that's the most important thing I can do, is to keep making them my priority and their stories and who they are, and sharing that with news organizations and everywhere, and putting that out there. So I hope everyone read a story on a women's athlete, or go out and educate yourself. And
that's a great point.
I'm sure you'll be wanting to support them more.
You've been through a lot with the organization and with the university and the athletics department, and you've seen it grow by leaps and bounds. And we find it very exciting, and we're happy, and we're thrilled that you decided to be a part of this today and help us out and join us on Spin is a four-letter word. Thank you, Rose.
Thank you.
Cheers. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening to Spin is a four-letter word. If you like what you hear today, please subscribe. Send us your feedback, too. We want this to be interesting for everybody. And give us a follow, @MaroonPR on Twitter and LinkedIn.